for we're head counted in the meeting. And I really believe God is saying, prepare yourselves for an inflow of nameless, faceless people. I'm calling them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I do nothing without warning my people. It is in demonstrations of my power that the clarion call goes out, and the people will come from the highways, the byways, and the country lanes. They will pour through these gates like water through open sluice gates. They will seek love, care, and healing, and will need to be accepted and belong, sheltered and nurtured. They will rise up quickly and become powerful in the things of the Spirit. Equip them and lead them and sow them out to multiply and replicate. Hold nothing back. So generously, my kingdom is advancing, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Amen. This morning I was praying in the garden, and I was looking over our garden, and there was a tree that we have planted. It's in Inyanga Acacia, and we planted it from seed, and it's grown to this massive, massive tree in our front garden. And because of the rains, it's just blooming at the moment with such greenery, and as the sun was just shining on the top of this tree, here were these starlings that are not from our area that were just coming to perch on top of this tree. And just in a sense, as Sally's brought that word and to encourage us what God is doing, I just really just sense as we have been faithful to the Lord, He has planted His seed here, He has grown it, it's maturing, He's watering it, and then He's trying to add the birds, the people, into this family. So Father, we want to just say thank you to you that you advance in your kingdom amongst us here. And Lord, we count it as an absolute privilege that we can be used by you, and give us wisdom in this season and your anointing, Lord, to honor you and to glorify you. It's not about the numbers, but it's about you. And may we always point them to you. May we always show them you. May they always come to a place of revelation of who you are. And may their eyes just be fixed upon you, not looking to the left and not looking to the right, but fixed upon our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, Father.
I waited on the Lord for words of knowledge regarding healing this morning, and I have several. These are what I sense the Lord wants to do. There's a right elbow that was quite inflamed and sore, a left shoulder more up at the top of the shoulder, pain and inflammation in inner jaw. I sense it was an upper jaw, but I'm not sure about that. Liquid gathering in a lung, perhaps a type of pneumonia. Arthritis. I wasn't sure if it was rheumatoid, but gnarled joints were what I saw. And then confusion, difficulty in making decisions, forgetfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you want to do this work. Thank you, Jesus.
God's busy speaking to us here this morning. And you know, the thing is that as Sally prophesied about the growth of the church and the way that God is moving, you know, the words came to me. A song that I often quote is, words, words, words. I'm sick and tired of words. Show me. And we went out into the streets the other day in Bears Valley, and the people that all came, every one of us witnessed God's move and the power of God moving in the streets when we went out into the streets. It's time that the church comes alive. It's time that you forget about just coming to church and start showing people the power of God. And today God is speaking to you. If you've got a problem with your elbow, if you've got a problem with your shoulder, if you've got a problem with a liquid in your lungs, if you've got a problem with your jaw, whatever it is, and God is speaking to you right now. And it's up to you to receive it or reject it. You're either going to receive today what God wants to give you, or you're going to reject it. So if there's anybody here today that has any of those problems, and also your heart condition and the confusion within your heart and mind concerning God, Today is the day. God wants to do something in your life. If you're that person right now, I want you just to put up your hand. You don't have to say what it is exactly, but there's a whole lot of hands now going up. Okay? Now, I want you to get the person next to you or somebody or... Now, just come up. The elders are going to pray for you right now. Come up. Every one of you, just come up. The elders are going to lay hands on you and pray for you right now. And the power of God is going to be released. The power of God is in this place today. And God is going to move, and God is going to touch you, and God is going to heal you, and God is going to set you free from whatever the problem is that you have right now. God is going to set you free. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Just tell the person what it is that you want to pray for. If it's your shoulder, if it's confusion, if it's your knee, if it's anything like that. I mean, we have testimonies sitting all over the place here of how wonderful God has healed them. And before they could even go to, when the doctor looked at them, they were healed. Amen. When they went for healing. Amen. So praise God. We serve a living God in this place. Let's pray for everyone. Amen. Praise God. Just want the elders quickly just go around, lay hands on them quickly. Let's not take up too much time because it's the power of God that's doing it. Come, Donovan, come pray with them, people. Come. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Be the rains of your love, be the winds of your spirit. And now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
Hallelujah. Shall just stretch your hands out, and if there's somebody that's been prayed for, just give them a love hug next to you, or somebody that's been prayed for, just give them a hug, just give them a, and tell them Jesus loves you and Jesus has done a miracle in your life. Today Jesus has done a miracle in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. God is on the move. God is moving in this place. Hallelujah. If you've hardened your heart to God, these people that are going to be baptized today, if you've never been baptized in water, I want to encourage you today to be baptized along with my brother Franz and Stacy. They're going to be baptized. I'd like to see everybody there to cheer them on as they are risen up. We're having a funeral. The old man is being buried and the new one's going to rise. Amen. Hallelujah. So praise God. We're going to have a glorious time further today as I hand over. Did you want to say something?
Did you have something? I've got something.
Okay. So praise God. I'm going to hand over to Mark. Great. God bless you all.
I just sense someone here, you're embarrassed. I don't know what you're embarrassed about, but you carry embarrassment of who you, maybe it's your past and what you've done. God wants you to set you free from that. As we sang that song, that when the Lord comes, He brings freedom, and you don't need to be embarrassed of who you were, but because who you are in Christ Jesus. The past is the past. And I don't know if there's anyone here today, you're just sensing that. Is anyone, just, I'm not trying to embarrass you, just, is anyone, if it's you, put your hand up, I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone here today? It's just like a fear that comes over you, that when you have to talk about things, you just don't have a confidence. I don't know maybe you're even embarrassed to do that now, but that's fine. Come to us afterwards, we're going to be praying too here. We want to pray for folk to do that. Amen. Hasn't God been good amongst us? The Lord is here in our midst. Amen. Thank you, worship team. God bless you all. Thank you, Franco. Today is a very special day for some folk in our midst. It's Marnie's birthday. Hey, Marnie. I don't know where he's disappeared to. I can't see him. Where's Marnie? Adase. Yeah, he's short. He's in the front. And then it was a very special day yesterday for Mum Judy King. She was 75.
I thought
you were 60 yesterday. And Colleen was 60. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. We're celebrating here. God is good in our midst. Also with some sadness, but also with rejoicing, because that's why we preach the gospel. Daphne Thompson, that's been part of us from the beginning, passed away to be with our Lord, and she's rejoicing in heaven. And if you want to be part of that memorial service, we're doing it tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Tarantal in their hall. Come and join us for that. But she's rejoicing with the Lord. She had some tough times at the end, but the Lord took her home, and she's alive with Him and living forever. Amen. We're going to do some sharing, some asking Vernon and Vivian. They're going to come and share. Viv's going to share a testimony, and then Jenny's going to share, and then I'm going to share shortly after that. So I don't know where the mic is, and we're going to give God the glory at this time. God's doing exciting stuff in our midst, eh? As Franco said, he's a divine God. He's a supernatural God. We can't see Him, but He's working in our midst. So here we give glory. Come stand on the podium so you can't hide down the bottom here.
Hi. I just want to share with you the power of prayer and the grace of God, and that He is amongst us and He does work in us and He does answer prayers. Yes. Some time ago, I had my brother here from Cape Town. He was very ill, and I took him to the cardiologist, and in passing, the cardio said to me, please have a checkup. What's wrong with your brother is genetic. So when my brother went home, I went for a checkup, and he said, I didn't see this coming, but you need to have an angiogram tomorrow. So we did that, and after the angiogram, he said, look, your left arteries are building up. It's 50-50 at the moment, but you're going to need a stent shortly. So, okay, thank you very much. And off we went. And then in February, which was 6 months later, I went for, I went for a checkup, and he said, look, I'm not really happy with you. Do blood tests tomorrow. And then on the Wednesday, I had two strokes. I was lying in hospital waiting to be admitted into ICU, and my family all came, and they stood around the bed, and they all prayed. And I really believe from that moment, I started healing from the strokes. And but I went into, I had an angiogram done the following morning, and I had a stent inserted in my right side, which I wasn't even aware was building up. And this was now a different cardio, and I stress that, a different cardiologist. And he said to me, also, be careful, your left side's not looking good. You need to have a checkup again soon. But after a couple of days in ICU, I came home healed. I had no effect from the strokes whatsoever. So that was an amazing blessing by God. He really worked on us there at that time. And then a year later, I went for my checkup again, and he said, look, you need an angiogram. It definitely looks like you need a stent in your left-hand side as well, because look at the ECG, it's not good at all whatsoever. That was on the Friday. I came to church on the Sunday, and I came up for prayer with the elders, and they prayed for me. They really prayed for me, and we really trusted that my artery was going to be clear and my left side. So I went in for the angiogram on the Monday, and if anybody knows an angiogram, you watch what they're doing. And I could hear my cardio very quiet, and he didn't say anything, and then he said, okay, go to the right side. Oh, that stent's perfect. He said, let's go back to the left-hand side, and I heard silence. There was not a word. He got up, and he walked out, and he bumped into Vernon, and Vernon...
He said, I don't understand what my concern was from last week. There's absolutely nothing.
So, and that was when Vernon was outside. So I said to the matron, why has he said nothing? What's going on? There was no stent. She said, your artery's fine. It's normal. There's nothing. Amen. Amen. And that's the grace of God and the power of prayer. And honestly, I thank everybody. And God particularly. I mean, it really, he is there and he does answer prayers.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vivs. Thanks, Vernon. We give God all the glory, and we say thanks to him because he gives us this incredible opportunity. I say this very humbly in that, but God's orchestrated in the life of the church, if you're sick, call the elders. Doesn't say the elders must come to you. It says you must call the elders. And we every Sunday have opportunity afterwards to pray. And if you're not well and you're really trusting God, come to the elders. There's nothing in the elders. But it's God's pattern and his plan that the power of God, their faith will be exercised. And we trust God for healing in those circumstances. So I just want to say we are available. Even the leaders are available. We are here afterwards. But especially the elders for sickness. Let's pray for you. Let's trust God. Let's do it God's way. I know we've got doctors, and doctors are fantastic, and we need them, absolutely, but let's do it God's way. God's got a plan to bring healing to his body as we get sick, and sometimes we do get sick, but God wants to bring healing to us. We're going to continue this morning, and Jenny Pretorius is going to come and share with us. We shared on the outworking of the evil one in our lives, and she wants to just share with us today how to remain in that place of freedom. And it was one of the first songs that we sang today, how to remain in that. So Jenny's going to share for us, and I'm going to share after that. Amen. Thanks, Jen. Father, we just thank you for your hand upon Jenny now, and we ask, Lord, that she opens her mouth, that it will not be her words, but will you speaking through her, and enable her to, Lord, bring life to us, and that we would hold on to these truths, and Lord, that we would live in this place of freedom and liberty that you called us to live now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go for it, Jen. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Mark. We live by a life script, and that is built upon the circumstances, situations where we stay, our schooling, and our parents, and the people that are valuable in our lives. And from day one, we, without realizing it, are gathering information about how life should be lived. And we base that on what we experience around us. And that becomes our life values. And so if, like last week, we realize that we've been through a trauma and that has never been dealt with, the way we are wired is that we need to know what happened to us in that time. And we need to know in our hearts how to overcome that so that it doesn't ever happen to us again. That's just part of how God wired us. And if you know how it works, is that when you've gone through a trauma, your whole emotional system is all over the place. You've got hormones going in every direction. And it's usually you are overwhelmed by what happened to you at that moment. And what happens is that you make a decision and you come to an understanding of what happened at that time and you file it away as truth. And if that doesn't get contested, then that becomes part of your life script that you live with. And so the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And so how do we know that we need our minds renewed in an area? How do we know that our life script is not right? And what Mark started doing last week was exposing some of those areas. And if you have any idea of wounding, whether it's a natural wound or an emotional wound, if you have something in your life that is a wound, it needs tending to. And if that trauma was not tended to, it will cause an infection. Just like a normal wound, you will have an infection if it's not sorted out. And that wounding will spread into other areas of your life and will affect not just your emotions and your thinking, but it will affect the way you see God, the way you react to others, the way you interact with others, and the way you relate to yourself. And so we need to see that this is really a serious thing that Mark started last week. And just by all the beautiful songs and the words that have come out today, it's just such a platform of God's love for us and how he sees that what he wants to do is love you and clear away the debris, which we started doing last week, and to be able to walk with us in a new way. And it's exciting to know that and to see that. But even in that place, we struggle to let God in. We struggle to allow others in. And so today, very briefly, I want to be able to share a little bit of what I feel God can help us to do that. It speaks about binding up the strong man and keeping your house clean so that more spirits will not come in and infect our house again. My son Brent and his wife Carmen bought a house down in Amanas, and as some of you know, they were so excited, moved down in January, and we're prepared to move in, only to discover that the lady who owned the house previously had rented it out to someone else, and she refused point blank to move out because her contract only ended a few months later in the May. And she, I don't know what's going on. She would not move out. And eventually, after a big story and lots of things, they eventually got her out. And Brent got the keys, went and opened the door, and nearly fell over backwards because of the stench that came out of that house. She had kept 5 dogs inside there, and it was terrible what they got up to. They had to rip up carpets, they had to change cupboards, they had to repaint, they had to fumigate. It was unbelievable what happened in that house. It was not livable. Now, you know, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit of God. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we have his Spirit that comes and lives with and in us. And he wants to have full access to every area of our lives. But where there's been wounding, often we have not let him in there. And that place is not livable for the Spirit of God. And what God wants to do is be able to come in there and be able to have full control of that area of your life as well. Because he knows how to heal, how to restore, and how to help get evicted out of our lives everything that belonged to our old life, so that we can be released into the fullness of what Jesus died to give us. So when you look at all of this, God has got a special way of protecting us, and that is through the armor of God. Now, if you look at the armor, it is the most amazing thing that you can use in your life. There's most times, when just before I speak about the armor, we struggle with relationships, don't we? That's our biggest area of battle. And in verse 11, it says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles and the schemes of the enemy, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. So a person does come and affect us and impact us, but what is behind it is something that's broken in them, that's been infected, that has an oppression that the enemy uses and is getting to us. But why is it getting to us? Because there's an area in us that we haven't had released and healed. So many times I've had people get to me, I find it hard to be with them, until I stop and say, all right, Lord, why is this happening? What is going on here? And then the Lord showed me a little while ago that what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing is actually the area that God wants to heal in me. My reaction to this person is why he's allowing it. Because how do I know where I need to be, have my mind renewed? I don't. But as I react to these people, and my reaction isn't the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. When I see this person coming, I'm not reacting in joy and peace. I'm reacting in a very opposite way. So God wants to restore those areas in me and to release me. So the first part of the armor is the helmet of salvation. And how many times doesn't the enemy come and try and make us feel that we're not saved? He says, but are you really saved? Are you really a child of God? Will he really answer your prayer? You know what I'm saying? He tries to contest every part of our lives. But where do you have the biggest battle? It's in our minds, isn't it? It's in our minds. That's why the Bible says we need our minds renewed. So he tries to get us to doubt and to fear that we are saved, that God will do something in our lives, that what we walking in is actually good enough, and that God will use us. And to get past the negative thoughts, in Philippians 4:8 it says, for whatsoever things are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, think the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly. It's so easy when that person's getting to me to start seeing the ugliness in them so that I can feel better about myself. But that's not how God works. The best way is to start praying for that person. Yes, they are broken and they are ugly at that moment. But to pray for them that they can get healed, and pray for myself that I don't get ugly in the whole process as well. So we need to watch our thoughts, because Satan places thoughts in our mind, and he's very good at doing that. And so the lies that come at us, we are only going to know the lies by comparing our life, where we're at, what we're going through to be getting into the Word of God, which is the truth of God. Then we need to ask God, through his Holy Spirit, to expose old thinking patterns that have developed because of trauma. because of childhood abuse, because of being neglected, betrayed, and not looked after and watched over. Even those of you who have lost loved ones through divorce and through various other things, those things can come in and cause us to have feelings of rejection, where we can fear rejection, where we can feel abandoned, where we can fear abandonment, and betrayed again. So we trust people, but only to a point. We don't let people in because we're afraid. Those are old thinking patterns that God wants to release us from. And we can instead do an exchange and say, here's my rejection, Lord. Here's my fear of abandonment. Here's my fear of trust. Here's my fear of letting people in. Fear of criticism, fear of failure, fear of man. Lord, give me your covering. Give me your peace. Give me your understanding. Give me your love in place of this. Give me your covering and your protection that I will not be hurt again by people. And if I am, that I will not be pulled down and broken like I was the last time. So the Holy Spirit is here to help us. In the Amplified, it says he's our comforter, our counselor, our helper, our intercessor, our advocate, our strengthener, and our standby. I was sharing with Thora, and she was saying that a standby is somebody that when you can't make it, you can call them in to stand in your place for you. Isn't that beautiful? That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us. Then the belt of truth. Whose truth are you believing about yourself, about God, and about life? Is it the Word of God's truth, or is it the old truth that you've known and walked with all this time? We need to really ask God to expose the lies of the enemy in our lives so that we can be released of it. You know what? When you read the Word of God, right there and then, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Right there and then, the Lord says, the enemy says, you Will the Lord really be your shepherd? Will he really lead you? Will he undertake for you? Will he provide for you? Can you see how even in reading the word, the enemy can come in and actually rob us? So we need to ask God before we start reading, Lord, protect my mind. Lead me through your spirit. He is the spirit of truth. We see in John 14, verse 18. Let him lead you into all truth. And then are you really walking in truth about the people around you and about the Lord? You know, when the Lord says that you are saved, that you are redeemed, that you have the Holy Spirit in you and that he wants to use you, do you really believe that? Or do you feel I'm not capable and we feel inadequate? And who am I to be used of God? Those are lies. We're not walking in God's truth in that area. And we are letting in a spirit of doubt and unbelief come in. We need to guard our hearts. Then the breastplate of righteousness, or God's approval. He approves of us. But you know, the breastplate covers all our vital organs. And it's in our vital organs that we've been hurt, like our heart. We've been hurt. We've had our hearts broken, many of us. And we've never had our hearts fixed. God wants to heal the brokenhearted, because otherwise we put walls around ourselves and we can't even let God into that place, because we're so busy protecting ourselves that we actually can't let God's love in to release us into all that he has for us. So he wants to heal and cleanse and release all that demonic walls that have been there. But you need to ask him to help you to bring the walls down. We can't do it on our own. We need to trust him to be able to come behind those walls to let them down. Especially if you've been abandoned as a child. We have an orphan spirit that comes our way. And we don't feel we belong. We don't feel even that God has cares enough for us. We need to give that orphan spirit to God so that the belt of truth can really be put into the spiritual realm around of us. Then the shoes of peace. The Lord wants us to bring the gospel of peace into everyone around us, into the world around us. But are we living and walking in peace? Is that the atmosphere that we live in? Or are we at war with those around us, and especially at war with ourselves? Often, we don't like ourselves. We don't want to accept who we really are. We've got problems with everything about us. And yet, that is not how God wants us to walk. He wants us to walk in peace with God, with others, and with ourselves, so that the enemy cannot get in there. Peace is part of our armor. Are you walking in peace? Because as you walk in peace, you're actually warring against this, against the enemy. He hates it when we're in peace. And the Bible says to strive for peace. So we need to then hold up the shield of faith. If you do not know the word of God, you cannot hold up your shield of faith. When the enemy comes in and says, who do you think you are? That person doesn't like you, and we're getting offended and we're getting pulled down. Do you know the scriptures that can counteract that? Jesus counteracted the enemy through the word of God, and we need to be able to do the same. That beautiful song that we sang this morning, Donovan, worship was awesome. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth should dare to know my name? Isn't that the most amazing thing? And that's what we need to strive. We've been robbed enough. We don't want to be robbed of the Lord's love, of his ability to take us into the more. Because we can't take the gospel out there if we don't know who we are. That's what Satan's hit, is our identity, not only in our lives, but in the spiritual realm as well. We need to start finding out who we are. On the wall on the opposite side, there's an orange block with many little pamphlets in it that look like this. And in there are many chains and references that you're very free to help and welcome to help yourself to. Daily readings, on deliverance, prayer and faith, praise and worship, looking at my mind, the alcoholic home, fear, anger, the power of the tongue, and so on, and strongholds, and so on, and so on. As you start allowing God's word into your life, those strongholds will come down, and that's because the word says so. If you've been struggling with rejection, we've had rejection sent out of you, you need to now reinforce your life with what God says about you, his acceptance, his love, his approval. Because that is the word. That is what's going to strengthen you. That's what's going to stop the enemy from coming back in again. So take those pamphlets. There's all kinds of flow charts there. There's scriptures. Take them and start making it your own. Start holding up your shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. We are in a war, and the enemy will come in and want to take over back again. Brent and Carmen have struggled with their home. They've worked hard. It's taken them a long time to sort out the inside. The same with us. You can have instant deliverance, and that oppressing spirit will go. But it takes time to refurbish. It takes time to rebuild. It takes time to get healing. Why? Because we need our minds renewed. Because we feel more secure in our lives and what we've always known and the old truth than what we do believe in God's word. Because it's not truth to us straight away. And the only way that it's going to become truth is to acknowledge, Lord, what I'm reading now, don't believe. But help thou my unbelief, like that servant of old. Change my thinking, change my heart, change my unbelief. Give me the power to believe you. Give me the download here of your love and your heart to actually take in and make this my own. Help me, I'm weak in this area. Build me up. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about, to do that for us. And then we can take out the gospel of peace. Then, like Vivian and many that have said, God has healed me, not just physically, but emotionally as well. Because that's what he wants to do. Because we are body, soul, and spirit. We need to be whole in all those areas so that God can take the glory. Thank you.
Amen, Jen. I just sense in the Lord we just need to continue in this because God's opened up something here, and I think if we don't deal with it, as much as we need to pray and do things by ourselves, I just got another scripture that I'd just like to affirm what the Lord has been saying to us here, and then I'd like to pray with folk. God's not finished. He loves us and wants to do things with us. Donovan used that song today. It comes from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we know who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And you know, when we discussed last week where people get encumbered and get enslaved by the enemy, the question here is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we ask the question of the church, is everyone free? The answer is no. But it says here, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I want to just say is that should be our aim, that everyone should be walking in a place of freedom. And Jenny went through many things where trauma and wounding and the hurt can hold you enslaved, and Jesus comes to set the captives free. And so often we're looking at the people outside and say, well, I'm fine, and we think it's the unbeliever. But actually it's in the church that we get enslaved and ensnared because the enemy is against us and wanting to destroy us. So I just want to encourage you, that there's a scripture in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49, I want to read it to you, where Jesus questions the disciples and the people around him about his lordship. And Jesus says, so why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me? Scary. We can say, Jesus, you are Lord, but we're not obeying him. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then obeys me. It is like a person who builds a house on a strong foundation, laid upon the underlying rock, and when the flood waters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it was well built. But anyone who listens and doesn't obey, so you can listen and not obey, is like a person who builds on a house without a foundation, and when the floods sweep down against the house, it will crumble into a heap of ruins. So the Lord is challenging us, and I really do believe out of this thing is that he wants to be Lord. You know, we know what it is to be born again, and you need to confess Jesus, Lord, over your life. And it came through the prayer meeting. I don't know where it came through today, but Jesus wants to be Lord of everything. And what does his lordship really mean to us? It's not just lordship in name, where he is the Lord, and no one can deny that. At his name, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, will confess him as Lord, no doubt. But his lordship needs to govern our lives. He needs to be Lord in everything. As we said, body, soul, and spirit, your family, your affairs, your business. And that lordship means that we're under instruction. His word, we are disciples of him, we are following him, and he needs to be Lord in everything. It sounds so simple, folk, but it's so profound. Is that when we allow this to take place, then the Spirit of God comes in and brings us to a place of freedom. And the incredible thing is when Jesus is Lord, so is his Holy Spirit. And I think that's where we've gone wrong. We considered the Holy Spirit as an arm of God, and he does the work of God. And I want to say to you today, the Holy Spirit is God. And when Jesus is Lord in your life, so is the Holy Spirit. He needs to be Lord. And we have an incredible responsibility, yes, to renew our minds, but we have an incredible responsibility to be led by God, the Holy Spirit. And he will bring us to freedom. You must fight for your freedom. God doesn't want you enslaved. He wants you free. He has brought you free. The cross, the most powerful thing that we're celebrating this Easter, and I'm trusting that you're contemplating what's taken place 2,000 years ago. Easter brought us freedom. Christ died on the cross brought us freedom. But are you free? Only you know. And as Jenny encouraged us, we have a responsibility. We can pray for you, and I want to pray with you. God can do incredible things through prayer, but you have to fight for your freedom. What was that movie, Braveheart? It was against all odds that they fought the English. And I can't remember the song, but it was for freedom. And they never knew the freedom, the real freedom. They thought it was freedom from the English. But it's freedom that Christ has set us free from this world and from the enemy and the power of sin. And we've got to live in that place, as Franco encouraged us, to live this supernatural divine life of freedom. Now, I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but I'm telling you, all of us are encumbered somewhere. There's something in every one of our lives. I'm fighting with stuff in my own life. And it is a progressive thing. It's not an instantaneous thing, and then you just live in Nevada, as they, the unbelievers talk about. We don't just live in paradise. We've got to fight for it and keep for it and live in that peace that God has got for us. Now, Jenny raised some pertinent points. And I don't know what she must have picked your heart with some things by the Holy Spirit. If you are not free, and there's aspects in your life, we prayed about it last week, but I'm just telling you, God wants to deal with it. We're going to pray with you, and you're going to go and do something about it. But if you're not free in any area of your life, I don't know what it is, I want you to be bold enough to come and stand in the front, and we're going to pray with you. I'm standing. How about you? Come to the front if you want to be prayed to be set free. And you're looking at me, and you're saying, no, I'm free. I'm telling you, no, you're not. And I'm asking you to come and stand in the front because all of you, we need to pray for you. This is not an invitation. I'm telling you, come stand to the front. Sounds bold, eh? But I believe God wants to meet with you and your obedience to him who listens to the word, and we stand in the front. God, the Holy Spirit is here, and the Lord is here in the house, and he wants to set you free. And you know what? You're going to bring those aspects in your life that you know that there are issues. It might be through anxiety. It might be financial. It might be a loose tongue. Amen. Well done for coming to the front. Lord, you see your wonderful people in the front here. And I just do this under obedience to you, as Jenny just brought us to this place of recognizing, Lord, of a total freedom in you. And Holy Spirit, you are working with every one of us. Will you talk to the Lord what's come to your heart now, as the Holy Spirit is just revealing things? There's an opportunity. It's not always open. And I just believe God, the Holy Spirit, is just revealing stuff to our hearts. And just hear what he's saying to you, and then we're going to deal with it. Just as the Lord is revealing to you, Jenny just comes with some encouragement that we're going to pray the armor of God over those areas where you sense that there's is an aspect of outworking, that his lordship would be there. And Lord, I just lift my hands to heaven to you, and your presence is here. This is the day of the Lord. We call upon your name, Lord, and as the scripture says, we shall be saved. And your salvation is here today, Lord, to be outworked by you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we speak your word over your beloved, over your children, your loved ones. And Lord, as we are dealing with aspects of life and want to come into your lordship, we submit ourselves to you, Lord. We submit every area of our lives, the pain, the trauma, the wounding, the infliction, the outworking of even when we might be see darkness. We submit it to your authority and to your lordship now. And we declare what is there that doesn't belong to go now in Jesus' name. And we declare you Lord of our lives. You're the Lord of all. And you are ruling and reigning in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. And we just say thank you, Jesus, for setting us free now. And thank you for the freedom we have now. I just release that freedom. I just sense that freedom coming to you now. Some of you got burdens, we just release that now. There are aspects, we just break the authority of that in Jesus' name and declare freedom over every one of you. In your hearts, in your minds, in your lives, we thank you, Father. Isaiah 61 has been fulfilled today. You, Lord, are still doing your work and healing your people and setting them free from the power of evil. We thank you for that now. You are free. And don't let the devil rob you of your freedom. Don't let the accuser say that you're walking in unbelief and doubt. Today, you are free. You are no longer encumbered, you're not ensnared, you're no longer enslaved, you are free, and walk in your freedom and keep your freedom. And then go and set others free as God has set you free. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace, the living reality of a living God and setting us free. John, you are free. You are free. You are free. Thank you, Lord. There's a wonderful scripture in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, that when we are weak, we are strong. Because God's grace is sufficient for us. That is your freedom, the grace of God. God is compassionate to us. He is kind and loving. Rely on his kindness and his compassion. You don't have to work out everything. You don't have to have an answer for everything. He is Lord. He is Lord. Go in peace, go in your freedom. God is for you, he's not against you. Who sensed some freedom happen today? I just sensed liberty come. There was freedom that came. Some burdens, maybe not everyone, but I'm telling you, something happened. Something happened in the spirit here. God bless you. God bless you. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to rejoice further. We're going to be doing a water baptism. If you need to be water baptized and never been water baptized, come and join us. We're going to celebrate. Come and join us for tea and coffee. And deacons, we're meeting after that. God bless you all. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Jen.